Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. If you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What he said.
Hey, Mr. Secretary, could you please take the roll call?
Okay. Commissioner Summers?
Present.
Commissioner Kubelik? Not here. Commissioner Poole?
Present.
Commissioner Discharges? I am here. Commissioner Lundy?
Here.
Commissioner Pike?
Present.
And Commissioner Estelle? Commissioner Terry?
Present.
Commissioner Longton? So far we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 present.
Okay, we have quorum. Are there any additions or changes for the agenda this evening? Okay, moving on. We'll now vote on the approval of the minutes from the September 24th, 2024 regular meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes pass. At this time, we'll invite remarks from the public for items not related to the agenda. So if you'd like to come forward and make a comment, you may do so at this time. Hearing none, we will move on to item number 7, which is to open a public hearing. The application is 24ZC4, Zoning Regulation Text Amendment to amend section 4.11.5.2. The applicant is 1758 Route 32, LLC, care of Corey Grossman. The agent is George Andrews. The date of receipt was September 23rd. A decision is required 65 days from the close of the public hearing. So at this time, I'll entertain a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the public hearing has been opened. Meredith, what should we know about this application?
Thank you. Meredith Badaluca, assistant planner for the record. This is a proposal to amend zoning regulation section 4.11.52 to state buildings shall be so grouped that each facade shall face its full dimension upon a street unless the subject parcel or parcels included in the development are collectively located within the R20M zone and the Route 32 overlay zone. The current regulation states buildings shall be so grouped that each facade shall face its full dimension upon a street. Our zoning regulations define a street as follows: any existing state or town highway or street or a street shown on a subdivision approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission, or B, on a map or plan duly filed and recorded in the office of the town clerk of the town of Montville prior to 1963, provided such street shall have been suitably improved to the satisfaction of the Planning and Zoning Commission after October 13, 1970. Our regulations do not define what a facade is. Therefore, you would look to the dictionary for the most common understanding. I have listed three different definitions from three different dictionaries in the staff report for your review. Multifamily dwelling units are currently permitted in the following zones: the R20 and the R40 zone, with an increased side yard setback. In the R20, it's increased from 10 feet to 20 feet. In R40, it's increased from 15 to 20 feet. They're also allowed in the R20M zone, in the Route 32 overlay zone, as well as in the housing opportunity development zone. I have listed the intent and purpose section of the R20M section B, which states the intent for that zoning regulation. I've also included in the staff report, and I can read them all if you want me to, but...
No, that's all right.
I'm going to assume that you read it the last time.
Mm-hmm.
I've included the intent for the Route 32 overlay zone. I've also included in the staff report parcels that are located within the R20M zoning district, along with their acreage and the uses, which I have taken from the tax assessor's property cards. The Route 32 overlay zone, as you can see on the zoning map that's attached to your staff report, if anything is attached, which is included in the inlet. I did not list all of those addresses for you, but you can see on the zoning map what they are. I did previously seek opinion from our previous town attorney, Richard Cody, and our current town attorney, Mike Carey, as to whether or not a project located within the R20M zone shall follow both the zoning regulation section 9B, which is the R20M, and zoning regulation 4.11.5, multifamily dwelling section. And both attorneys agreed that both sections and other pertinent sections of our regulations shall be adhered to. The opinion of both attorneys was also sought for the section 4.11.52, which we are here tonight for, and both agreed that the front of the building shall face the street. Attorney Carey had also pointed out zoning section 4.8, which states these regulations are not intended to interfere with, abrogate, or annul any other ordinance, regulations, or other provisions of the law, or any easement or other private agreement or legal relationship. When these regulations or any section thereof impose restrictions on use or dimensions different from those imposed by another section of these regulations or statute, ordinance, or private agreement or legal relationship, whichever provisions are more restrictive or impose higher standards shall control. I gave you some background as to when this section was changed throughout our zoning regulations, starting in 1990 and going up to 2018. If you'd like me to go through that history, I will, but it's in the staff report. I recommend that the commission consider clarifying that the parcels shall be in either the R20M or the Route 32 overlay zone and not having to be in both of the zones. I feel the word "and" could be interpreted to mean that has to be in both of those zones. I have listed the indicated housing goals of the 2022 Mottville Plan of Conservation and Development. I've also listed a portion of what's stated in our affordable housing plan in the staff report. While doing the research for the staff report, I did check other local towns to see if they had a restriction in their multifamily and if they required the front of the building to face a street. I could not find any towns that make a multifamily dwelling unit face the street. I did include in, as part of my staff report, Stacy and I went out and took pictures around town of other multifamily buildings just so that you could get an idea of what some of the current locations look like, and those are attached. The proposed text amendment has been sent out to our town attorney for his comments. He provided the following comment on October 3rd. The proposed amendment is legally satisfactory. Without detracting from that, I agree with your curiosity about the word in quotations and in the third line, and I also wonder whether the word collectively clearly enough states the intent. The application was also referred out to Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments on September 26, as required. They issued a response letter on October 21st, 2024 from Nicole Haggerty. She is the senior regional planner, and she stated that the proposed amendments are not likely to have a negative intermunicipal impact. We've also referred out the application to adjacent town clerks. We have not received any responses to date from them. The application was posted in the office of our town clerk as required on September 26th. The public hearing was noticed in the Day newspaper on October 9th and October 16th as required. And that's all I have. The applicant is here to do his presentation unless you have any questions for me prior to that.
Does anyone have, excuse me, does anyone have any questions for Meredith?
What about the HOD area? Does that need to be included here or called out specifically?
It has not been included in this application. It has been noticed for the R20 and the Route 32 overlay zone.
So that's inclusive enough?
So it would be just for those two. If the commission decided they wanted to add the R20 or the R40 or the HOD zone, we could do that at a later date, but we cannot make it part of this application because we didn't notice it that way. But that is something we could address in the future.
What's driving this? What's making us want to do this?
It's not our application. It is a application of, the agent is George Andrews.
How does it benefit the town?
If we make it less restrictive, then there's going to be more opportunity for development.
There would be more flexibility with how a building has to be situated
yes.
on a parcel.
And they want to face the street.
And the applicant's here.
And the applicant's here. He'll speak. Mm-hmm. Several of our vacant parcels that are left in these zones have wetlands, have steep slopes, could have ledge. So it really limits where they can put the development. And it limits if you have to face the street and all the buildings have to face the street, it could potentially limit how many units you could get.
Don't you find it interesting, though? That's the appeal, the curb appeal of the face of a building when you're driving down a road, whatever it is, whether it's commercial or residential. I just think it's kind of interesting, but obviously if there's logistics involved that you would want the backside, for lack of better words, of your project to be showing.
And you can also think there's some pictures in here,
right.
Other ones
right.
that have a courtyard. And so the fronts of the buildings all face the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can,
the end
as another example, the meadows on Leffingwell. I don't know if you've been up there.
Yeah.
I have pictures in here. It's a little hard to see. But each of them faces the street. So there's multiple, as you go down the road, the driveway, there's multiple. So the front of this one faces the back of that one.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's kind of looking into each other's decks.
Or Birchwood Common.
Whereas if they had turned it towards the
yes, you're looking
road, it would have been a little more aesthetically pleasing.
Into a courtyard.
Right.
I've showed pictures in the staff report of the condos on Georgia.
Yeah, and Birchwood Common.
They all face the street.
Right.
And one of the things that stood out to me when I was going around taking pictures is because of that, the dumpster's right on the street. There's no back parking lot,
right.
So the dumpster's right on the street.
And Birchwood Commons, they're like good.
I have pictures of Birchwood Commons on here. That's facing like a private road. And as part of the background, I stated in here that at one point in time, our regulations did state that they could face a private road, and that got taken out. Not sure if it was on purpose or a Scribner's error, so it did used to say a private road.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure.
So you made a comment that surrounding communities don't even address this.
They don't address
then
it.
Then why do we address it?
That was one of my questions, is if they don't address, my thought is if they don't address it and we do address it and a developer wants to come in, what's going to happen if we make them face the road? They could potentially just go to another town with their development.
And plus, the current language allow created nonconformity on some of these properties.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Meredith before we invite the applicant to speak? Hi. Would you like to come forward? If you could please state your name for the record.
My name's George Andrews.
Good.
Okay. I'm a principal engineer with Lorero Engineering Associates, and we have offices in Groton and Plainville, Connecticut. And I am here tonight on behalf of the applicant, 1758 Route 32, LLC. So there's no guess as to which property we're looking out for when it comes to this proposed text change. So we started out on this project with a conceptual plan, a conceptual layout, and obviously the developer's interest is maximizing the number of units that they can get on the parcel, as well as creating an environment that's inviting and such and going to be able to foster rentals successfully. So we came out with a layout, and then we ran into 4.11.5.2 under your multifamily dwelling section. That was called to my attention a bit after we were engaged with our initial conceptual layout. And really felt it was very restrictive to this particular parcel. And as Meredith mentioned, I'm finding as a civil engineer, less and less really suitable lots left. Mm-hmm. All of those have pretty much, majority of them have been developed at this point. So we're left with parcels that have extreme slope. Some of them are long and thin, and this one happens to have both characteristics. It's a long, deep, thin lot, and it has a significant cross slope. So we fought with it for a bit and felt that a text change would certainly be appropriate. And as part of the proposal, we felt there would be other benefits to the town as well. We feel it'll open up an opportunity for additional multifamily development in town. As I say right now, many of the parcels are very likely encumbered by wetlands, et cetera, slope, bedrock. And it will offer better opportunities for developers to come in and present new projects to you. And secondly, this offers the opportunity, as Meredith mentioned, for a courtyard-type program, which the majority of the landscape architects and architects that we're working with now are fostering. That's what they're looking for, is that courtyard where it's a center play and gathering area surrounded by the buildings themselves. And the regulation, as stated, certainly doesn't foster that. So I wanted to call attention to the diligence that staff went through to prepare the report that you got. I've not witnessed a report as detailed as that, Meredith, so I think you really did a great job, and it's my belief on behalf of my client that the findings of that investigation really true up with the direction that we're looking to go with this text amendment. And we believe it will offer, I think, a little bit of relief to get more developers in town on some properties that haven't been developed, and certainly offers a better opportunity for the site layout with the way current architects are trending at this point. With that said, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have of myself or the applicant.
Thank you very much. Just as a reminder, these questions should be about this application for the text amendment and not the project that the text amendment is going to address. Any questions?
That's located right on Fort Hill, right by the Mohegan Elderly Housing Complex, right?
I'm sorry?
That section is right on Old Fort Hill, yeah. Right next to the Mohegan Elderly Housing Complex, right?
Yep.
Yeah, which is known as the Uncas Fort. which you had a lot of problems with about 15 years ago, about having a doing a development in that area.
Yeah.
So what they're doing to maybe preserve that the fort if they're going to be doing any type of a development there.
I'd be able to address that as part of the application.
Yes.
When I come in with the application for the site itself.
Meredith mentioned some of the wording, the or and collectively. What's your opinion on those changes?
It's funny that both of those came up. The majority of text amendments that I get involved with, the town is typically looking to narrow it down such that it applies to your site or one site only. In this particular case, I would tend to agree that I think it opens up a better opportunity for the community in general. And we don't take exception with either one of the proposed text changes that were recommended. So I think it would open it up to more opportunity throughout the town, and you may want to even explore expanding it beyond that.
Thank you.
Mr. Pike?
So I guess I understand the use of land. I you're very clear about your point here. I'm just concerned about the amount of property we have left and the sculpting it to the meat of the to meet the needs of the developer. I am certainly open to any ideas, always have been. I'm saying skeptical, but I'm curious. You made a comment that it's common now for courtyards. Mm-hmm. Can you give some examples where you've seen that as an engineer? I mean, you said developers like to do this now. They like to build courtyards. Where do you see that?
Absolutely. We we're just buttoning one up in West Hartford. We did three of them in Fairfield, the town of Fairfield, that were all courtyard open projects. And we finished one up probably, I would say, 6 months ago. I believe they're trying to break ground this week or so. That one was in Groton. That wasn't one of my projects, but another project manager took care of that one for us. That was another courtyard type application. And as I say, we're finding the majority of the landscape architects that come in to work with us, they have a concept, and it's typically built around that courtyard layout, that courtyard program.
Are they mostly functional or just for aesthetics?
I think it's to offer an opportunity of community in the center part of the structure itself, rather than having rows of units facing one another and not kind of fostering that sense of community. I think this offers a larger open space centrally located where the entire facility can actually look in, provided you have windows on that side, and be able to see others gathering within the central portion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to present to you tonight.
Absolutely. So as this is a public hearing, we will also invite the public to speak. We ask that you do keep your comments to about 3 minutes. And if you do choose to come up to speak, to please state your name and address for the record. I will call three times each for those in favor and then those against or in opposition to the application. So make first call for anyone that is in favor of this application that would like to speak.
Leonard Bunnell, 5 Little John Drive, Mayor of Town of Montville. First of all, I want to commend the staff and Meredith on the outstanding presentation. It seems that all the facts have been addressed and covered very well.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. I want to say that speaking in favor of the proposal, I really don't see a need in that entire sentence anyway. If you look up and down 32, the buildings face what they're designed by to suit whatever the need was. So we're not following it now. Even after zoning regulations came in, we don't follow it, so there's really no point. And if you look at the word facade, and as Meredith pointed out, there's several different definitions, but one of them is false. And a false side of the building, that doesn't make any sense. The advantages, as Commissioner Poole pointed out, there are advantages, and they're clear. It's going to attract, the change in the language is going to attract additional development, and development is beneficial to the town, and that's the benefit. It's going to eliminate restrictions, that's the big thing. I would also agree that what Meredith pointed out about the R20M zone, or where the word now is and, that should be changed to or, so it isn't restrictive. But I urge the commission to support this wholeheartedly and move it along so we can get going on this project and see what else it attracts.
Thank you.
I did receive a letter in support of that I'd like to read into the record, if that's okay.
Sure.
Stacy will hand out a copy for everybody. I received a letter from Heller, Heller & McCoy, dated October 21st, 2024, addressed to the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission, 310 Norwich New London Turnpike, Uncasville, Connecticut, 06382, regarding proposed text amendment to Section 4.11.5.2 of the Montville Zoning Regulations. Dear Commissioners, unfortunately, I will not be able to attend the public hearing scheduled for Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024, on the above-referenced text amendment application, as I have a commitment to a public hearing in another jurisdiction that evening. However, it is my opinion that this proposed text amendment is sufficiently significant to the development of good, sustainable, affordable housing in the town of Montville to voice my opinion in writing with respect to the proposed amendment. In submitting my testimony, please note that I have reviewed the text amendment application itself, the memorandum for record with respect to the text amendment application submitted by Meredith Badaluca, assistant planner, under the date of October 2nd, 2024, and the supporting documentation submitted therewith. Section 4.11.5.2, as currently written and as interpreted by the Montville Town Attorney, does not promote the most effective and functional development of the multifamily housing within any zoning district in which multifamily housing is currently regulatory permitted. I would submit to the Commission that the regulation as currently structured actually has the potential to promote less than favorable multifamily development design. A prime example of this is the design of, in quotations, the Meadows, located on Leffingwell Road in the town of Montville. It is my opinion that the regulatory parameters, which encourage greater flexibility in design, promote better development. Flexibility in design allows land planners and developers greater opportunity to fit a project into the topographical context in which it is proposed, provide more efficient design of and access to available utilities, and create greater propensity for the development of a community atmosphere within a multifamily housing project. Projects developed with a courtyard setting, with the facades of the building facing the courtyard or a private access rather than, in quotations, street, create a much more pleasing neighborhood setting. It is therefore my unequivocal recommendation that the language of Section 4.11.5.2 be amended. However, as to the form of that amendment, I submit the following additional thoughts for your consideration. First, I note that Section 9.2.9 of the current Montville Zoning Regulations permit multifamily housing as a use permitted with a site plan approval in the R20 zoning district. The text amendment currently being considered by the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission focuses on the R-20-M zoning district as well as the Route 32 overlay zone. In my opinion, if the proposed amendment to section 4.11.5.2 encourages better project design and a more pleasant community atmosphere, there is no rational reason to limit the applicability of the proposed text amendment to the R-20-M and Route 32 overlay zones only. Since it is my position that the proposed modifications to section 4.11.5.2 encourages better development for the town as a whole, it is my further opinion that its scope should be applied to all zoning districts in which multifamily housing is allowed pursuant to the terms and provisions of the regulations. Since the current application before you for consideration by its terms is limited to the R-20-M and the Route 32 overlay zones only, it is my further opinion that the extension of the applicability of the text amendment to the R-20 zone would exceed the scope of the notice of the public hearing on this application, which has been published, and therefore may very well be considered impermissible by a court of a competent jurisdiction reviewing the proceedings of the commission with respect to this application if it was to be so extended. I would therefore suggest that in the future, the commission on its own application seriously consider a further amendment to section 4.11.5.2 to extend the availability of greater design flexibility to developers seeking to develop multifamily housing in the R20 zoning district. Second, with respect to the language of the amendment that is currently before you for consideration, I support the draft motion proposed by the assistant planner as the amended motion for approval, as there is no rational reason why the applicability of the revised regulation should be limited only to properties that are both within the R-20-M and Route 32 overlay zone. The substitution of the word in quotations, in parentheses, quotations, I'm sorry, or for the word and is consistent with my thoughts expressed above. In addition, I would also recommend the elimination of the word collectively from the text. The word adds nothing to the proposed revised regulation and could create confusion. If a future application of the Commission for the Multifamily Housing Development is submitted with respect to multiple properties that lie within differing zoning districts, your regulations provide that the application would need to comply with the requirements of the most restrictive zoning districts, or in the alternative, the developer would need to seek a zone change. In summary, I support the proposed text amendment as modified in the draft amended motion and as further modified by the elimination of the word collectively. This text amendment, if adopted, will provide greater flexibility in the design implementation of multifamily housing in the town of Montville and will result in the development of better projects which benefit both developers seeking to invest in our community as well as the town as a whole. Very truly yours, Harry B. Heller.
Thank you, Meredith.
Have a great day. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I'll make a first call for those opposed to the application. Hearing none, I'll do a second call for those who would like to speak in favor. Second call for those that would like to speak in opposition. Third and final call for those that would like to speak in favor. And third and final call for those that would like to speak in opposition. Hearing no additional comments, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. first and seconded. All those in, I'm sorry, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the public hearing has been closed. Thank you very much to those that spoke. Next, we'll move on to discussion and decision regarding the same application. Meredith, is there anything additional that we should know?
I do not have anything else.
Now, in the report, you present two motions, proposed motions.
Correct.
That was misplaced. Okay. So the application was for the first motion as presented, correct?
Correct.
Do we need to make that motion and then amend it, or can we just start out with
you
the amended?
You can start out with the amended one. Okay. And the amended motion that I have in here changes the word and to or and removed the word collectively.
Perfect.
So if you agree with that, you can use this motion or you can change it.
Well, usually when you say and, that means and or.
No.
Mm-mm.
Specifically, and or.
So it has to be both conditions. Commissioner Poole, did you have a question?
I'll make the motion if you wish.
Okay. Which motion will you be making?
The amended motion.
Would you mind reading it into the record?
I'll be happy to. I make a motion to amend and approve application 24ZC4 to amend zoning regulation section 4.11.5.2 to state buildings shall be so grouped that each facade shall face its full dimension upon a street unless the subject parcel or parcels in included in the development are located within an R20M zone or R32 overlay zone. The effective date of this amendment is October 28, 2024. The proposal is consistent with the plan of conservation and development and the comprehensive plan in that the amendment encourages housing investment areas and diverse housing.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Summers. Any discussion?
Yes. Mm-hmm. How it looks like is facade is usually the front of the building where the front door is. So the front door has to either, you call it, face a the front of the street or a front of a courtyard. That's what it looks like to me.
Any other discussion? Okay. We'll do a roll call vote.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Commissioner Summers?
In favor.
Okay. Commissioner Koblik, not here. Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Commissioner Jardins, in favor. Commissioner Lundy?
Chair goes last.
Okay. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner Stell? Okay. Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
And Commissioner Lundy?
In favor.
Okay, in favor, have it.
Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for the staff report.
You're very welcome.
Great job.
Thank you.
I share others' opinion too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is it appropriate to ask staff to look at the other zones and address Attorney Harlow's comments for us to look at?
Yes. Don't believe
list.
We need a motion for that, but perhaps.
On my list.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, moving on, we have old business, of which there is none, and then new business. Item 9A is 24 Site 7, 480 Route 32, 074-002-000. The owner applicant is KDS Realty LLC. The principal is Sudesh Kumar for proposed veterinarian office with additional. Building addition and three apartment units on the second and third floors. The application was submitted on October 8th, received October 22nd, and a decision is required by December 26th. Meredith, what should we know?
I will try to summarize my other long staff report. Apologize. I won't go into the background as it's all listed as to the permits that I found. They are proposing to improvements to support a veterinarian office space with building addition for accessory indoor kennel to support overnight stays from surgery. They are also proposing 3 apartment units. 2 will be on the second floor, 1 will be on the third floor. And as stated, those apartments have been there previously. They are proposing an addition, which the applicant's engineer will explain to you. The property is located in the C1 zoning district and is also included in the Route 32 overlay zone. The C1 zoning district does list business and professional offices as a permitted use. Again, our zoning regulations do not define professional offices, so I did give you several definitions that I found for professional office, and it is my opinion that a vet's office does meet that definition, so therefore it would be considered a professional office. The C1 zoning district section 10.2.8 permits apartments located in a space not occupied by the primary commercial use on the property, provided they are not on the ground level. The 3 proposed apartments are not located on the ground level, so it meets that definition. Multiple use and buildings zoning regulation section 4.10.1 states the commission may permit more than one principal building or use to be located and conducted on a lot under the same ownership or sponsorship for multifamily, commercial, industrial, recreational, institutional, governmental, educational, and farming purposes. Such buildings or uses shall be planned as a unit with integrated parking, access, building design, landscape, and shall meet the requirements of these regulations. This proposed use does, the parking calculations were done for both the commercial use and for the multifamily use, and there will be one access point to this parking lot. Multifamily dwelling definitions was also reviewed by myself for compliance, as well as the definition of kennel. The kennel is defined by our regulations as a commercial operation, open and or enclosed, in which a total of 4 or more pets limited to dogs or cats are kept for breeding, boarding, grooming, or medical attention. The applicant is proposing only 3 kennels to be used for patients recovering from procedures and will not be used for boarding, either regular or medical. Therefore, zoning regulation section 4.11.7 kennels would not apply to this application. The proposed parking lot area for this proposed project is 10,500 square feet. Our regulations do not have any landscaping requirements for parking areas less than 80,000 square feet. However, the applicant has included, as part of this application, on plan sheet 2, they've shown the landscaping requirements that they are going to meet. They are requesting the commission make a determination of applicability per zoning regulation section 17.5, for zoning regulation section 17.4.15. I have listed in the staff report what that section is, as well as the applicant's response to why they are asking for that determination, and the applicant will explain that further. Staff's technical review comments, I only had 2 small notes. I asked that they change on the plan. They have agreed to do so, and I have made those as a list of conditions for them to do should the application be approved. Agency comments, the town engineer responded on October 21st, 2024. He is requesting a hood installation on the last catch basin, and that has been listed as well as a condition should you approve the application. Fire Marshal provided comments on October 17th, 2024. The building official provided comments on October 11th, 2024. WPCA provided comments on October 17th, 2024. And that is all I have. I did a site inspection with DEO Radford, and that has been attached to the picture for review.
Thank you. I'm going to have us hold on questions until after we hear from the applicant, as they may answer, or the applicant's representative, apologies, as it may answer some outstanding questions. So, welcome.
Thank you. My name is David McKay with Boundaries LLC. I'm here on behalf of Dr. Kumar, the principal of KDS Realty, applicant and owner of the property, and also a member of the Montville Animal Hospital, currently located a little bit to the north on Route 32, where they're renting space near True Value. They're proposing to move their business to this property, which they purchased. This first sheet here is our existing conditions survey. This property was previously developed for, most recently, the Affordable Fabrics office and retail space on the ground floor, and also in the accessory structure with the two-bedroom apartments on the second and third floor, as Meredith mentioned. So the site has been developed, already has a parking lot, stormwater management system, and the majority of the structures required to run a business. So our proposed site plan is pretty minimal in order to meet some current requirements. Existing curb cuts going to remain in place, entering near the intersection with Crescent Street, pulling into the parking area where we've provided the required number of parking spaces. The only modification that's needed to the parking lot itself is the handicap accessible parking spaces are excessively sloped the way the parking area is currently paved. Right now they're about 5 to 6% slopes, where the maximum allowable slope is 2%. So this corner of the parking lot is proposed to be have the asphalt removed and the area regraded so it can meet the 2% maximum slope. And in addition to that, there's no dumpster enclosure currently located on the property, so they'll be adding a dumpster enclosure at the end of the parking area there. The addition that's proposed is behind the principal building right here, and it will connect the two buildings together. So you'll have the main building with the main office area on the ground floor connected directly to the proposed 564 square foot addition to be used for the overnight recovery from animals that require surgery in the rear building, the surgery and procedure area. In order to construct the addition, there's some minor grading around the foundation to meet stormwater requirements, keep that from running into the addition. And then other than that, the improvements on the site involve removing some excess pavement to offset the area of additional pavement for the ADA accessible parking spaces and a small area of the addition that extends beyond the existing paved surface. So as a result of removing this area of pavement, we've got no increase in the impervious cover of the property. So stormwater management quantities and volumes will stay the same, and also given the very limited modifications to grading, the runoff patterns will remain the same. Property slopes to the road. There's a series of catch basins that were installed in the late 1980s when this parking lot was first built, and those connect down to the north on Route 32. There's an existing sign right at the entrance. That's a 4x8 freestanding sign that currently says Affordable Fabrics on it. That is proposed to be replaced with the Montville Animal Hospital sign, which you can see on the detail sheet. Remaining details are specific to the area of repaving, providing the ADA compliant parking spaces and signage, and providing a dumpster enclosure for the dumpsters and grading at the addition entrance. Erosion controls are also pretty simple on this project because of the very limited area of disturbance, only 0.14 acres, including the parking area, regrading the addition, and that area of asphalt to be removed. So this project will just involve the installation of catch basin inserts during construction to catch any sediment that could run into the paved parking area. And then CLA engineers comment as part of their review to install a hood in the downstream catch basin, which would help remove sediment and oils from stormwater runoff before it enters the Route 32 drainage system. This property was previously used for commercial uses, and going back through the zoning history of the property, it was also used as a medical office in the past as well. So we feel that the proposed use and the continuation of the multifamily apartments on the second and third floors are appropriate for the property. Happy to answer any questions.
Could you speak a little bit about the request for the applicability of ZR section 17.5 regarding the stormwater drainage system?
Yes. Yes, the zoning regulation requests an analysis of the drainage on site and also drainage within 100 feet of the property in either direction. Because the drainage system is already installed on this property, and by the elimination of excess unnecessary paved areas, we've avoided increasing the impervious cover of the property. There's going to be no change to the stormwater management system and stormwater management quantities that'll leave the site. So we're asking to find if that's a requirement to do that additional modeling. We don't feel that's necessary. And as part of CLA engineers review, they also agreed that they did not feel it was necessary for this project.
Meredith, would that be a separate motion?
As long I would make a motion saying yes. There's another application later tonight that has a list of them. I would make it all one motion, but yes, I would make a motion determining applicability and then make a motion on the application.
Thank you. Any questions, Commissioner Poole?
Yeah, but does it have an area where you receive pets as in a lobby like?
Yes, their proposed main entrance is the same main entrance that's currently there, with the concrete ramp to the front of the building, mm-hmm. and the lobby and waiting area is proposed right inside the front door.
How many people would you envision in there?
Probably a maximum of, I believe they have 5 or 6 sheets sewn on their floor plan.
Five or six
chairs shown on their floor plan.
Okay.
So
will you comment on why the ADA places are the furthest ones away?
Their ADA access is actually going to be through the rear door here. So the ADA spaces are as close as possible to the rear doors. Their clients that do need those spaces, in this instance, they've also have some pets that don't get along well with others, so they like to have them in the back. They can go directly to the treatment rooms.
So they'll be signing, directing them there.
Yes.
Any additional questions?
I got to ask the question. You're going to build a small kennel. Hot topic in Montville right now. Different topic. What is the criteria for that kennel? Does it have to have a heated floor? Does it have to have central air? Is there criteria for that small little three cage kennel?
That I unfortunately cannot answer. I'm not aware of the specific building requirements. It's attached to the building in both areas, so it would be heated as part of the attachment to the other buildings, but I'm not familiar with the building.
I only say this in light of the fact that we're looking at building a new animal control facility in the town of Montville. There's a lot of criteria involved, and it just piqued my interest when I saw you wanted to build a small three-cage kennel there, concrete slab. I wonder if there was some criteria that you were going by at the state level, or this was just, I'm just curious. That's all, just curious.
I unfortunately cannot answer that question. I can point you to the building elevations. It is fully enclosed, so it will be a fully enclosed space, but I'm not aware of what's going on inside the building.
From my understanding, commercial kennels
yeah.
have different requirements than municipal kennels. And
no, they're going to go with veterinarian
it's
standards.
It's because a commercial kennel, you choose where your animal wants to go. A municipal kennel, your animal is picked up and brought there, so you don't have the choice of where it's going to
They're under arrest.
They're going to go by veterinary standards.
They're going to bring them to the Hilton, and they get to go to the...
Okay, just trying to
That's
clarify.
My
Thank
understanding.
You.
Good question.
Also, you're going to be doing with veterinarian standards anyways.
And this will not be used for overnight boarding. Yeah. So if you're a customer of theirs, client of theirs, you can't just drop off Fido to stay overnight because you're going on vacation. Fido had a surgery. He'll stay there.
I understand. Thank you. You're welcome.
Commissioner Poole, you had a question?
No, he's got it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misheard him.
I make a motion?
Sure.
I make a motion to approve with condition the application 24 site 7 for a veterinarian office with building addition and three apartment units on the second and third floors at 480 Route 32, 074-002-000. In accordance with the Montville zoning regulations and the applicable and the application, supporting documentation, and a plan set entitled Site Development Plan prepared by KDS Realty LLC, 480 Route 32, Montville, Connecticut, dated October 2024, prepared by Boundaries LLC.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, discussion. I would like to note that we should vote on the applicability of Section 17.4.15 prior to approving or not approving the application.
Okay.
Commissioner Poole, would you be willing to withdraw your motion?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Would anyone like to make a motion regarding the stormwater drainage system requirements?
No. Be on a motion here or whatever?
I'll make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to determine, stating that Section 17.4.15 of the zoning regulations is not applicable to this particular application.
I'll think of that motion.
Any discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes, and 17.4.15 is not applicable for this application. Commissioner Poole, would you like to remake your motion?
No.
You don't have to read it into the record again, but...
I'll second it again.
Okay, just as a reminder for the record, this is the suggested motion that was previously read into the record by Commissioner Poole. We have a first and a second. We should read these conditions into the record, should we not? All right, I'll read them. The conditions of the motion are general conditions. One, this approval is for the specific use, site, and structures identified in the application. Any change in the nature of use, site, or the structure will require new approvals from the Planning and Zoning Commission. This project shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the reference plans. Three, soil erosion and sediment controls shall be installed in accordance with the approved plan set and inspected by the zoning officer prior to the start of any work. Four, an approved zoning permit is required prior to the start of any work. Five,
By acceptance of this permit and conditions, the applicant and owner acknowledge the right of town staff to periodically enter upon the subject property for the purpose of determining compliance with the terms of this approval. 6. No business or use under this permit or approval shall be initiated until a certificate of zoning compliance is approved by the zoning officer. Site-specific conditions. 7. All drainage structures shall be maintained post-construction in accordance with the approved plan set. 8. All landscaping shall be maintained post-construction. 9. Site signage not shown on plan shall require an approved zoning permit prior to installation. Conditions to be met prior. Conditions to be met prior to signing of plans. 10. Plans shall be revised as follows. Show or no installation of hood on the last catch basin discharge per CLA comment letter dated October 21st, 2024. Sheet 3, narrative last paragraph, please revise to include, quote, construction is scheduled to start upon issuance of zoning permit for site plan approval and will require approximately 2 to 3 months to complete. No business or use under this permit approval shall be initiated until a certificate of zoning compliance is approved by the zoning officer, unquote. Sheet 3, operation and maintenance of erosion controls. First paragraph, please revise to include, quote, no construction shall proceed until proper sedimentation and erosion control methods have been installed and approved by the zoning officer as the sequence of construction necessitates, unquote. 11, all plans submitted for signature shall bear the seal and life signature of the appropriate professional or professionals responsible for the preparation of the plans. 12, the applicant shall also submit final plans as approved by the commission in a digital format per zoning regulation 17.3. 13, a list outlining how the conditions of approval have been met shall be submitted along with the final plan submitted for signature. 14, a list outlining all changes to the plans shall be submitted along with the final plan submitted for signature. The list should cite this sheet number where each change has been made. Conditions to be met prior to the issuance of zoning permits. 15, 4 sets of paper plans with any required revisions incorporated shall be submitted to the Land Use Department for signature of the Commission. 16. Any required certificates and or approvals from state or federal agencies, i.e. CT, DOT, DEEP, Army Corps of Engineers, shall be obtained by the applicant and submitted to the Land Use and Development Office. Any changes to the plans required by such entities may require a plan modification from the Planning and Zoning Commission. 17. A soil erosion and sediment control and site restoration bond shall be posted in the amount of $9,800 in a form acceptable to the finance director. No bond or portion thereof shall be released without the prior approval of the zoning officer and or the director of land use and development. 18. A pre-construction meeting between the applicant, site contractors, project engineer, and town staff shall be held. Conditions which must be met prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. 19. Complete as-built plans certified to Class A-2 accuracy shall be submitted prior to the issuance of any certificate of zoning compliance. The as-built plan shall also contain a certification by a professional engineer that they have inspected the site improvements and that they have been installed in accordance with the approved plans. Any deviations or omissions must be noted. 20. No certificate of occupancy or other final approval may be issued until the zoning officer has signed off on the final work. Note, the conditions of approval do not take the place of other requirements found in the town codes, regulations, or application instructions. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? Okay, Mr. Secretary, can we take a roll call vote, please?
Okay. Commissioner Summers?
In favor.
Commissioner Coble's not here. Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Commissioner Zarns, I am in favor of it. Okay. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner, still not here. Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
And our chairperson, Lundy?
In favor.
Okay. Everybody's in favor.
Okay. The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good luck.
Thank you, Dave. Good luck. Next, we'll move on to item 9B, which is Connecticut General Statute Section 8-24 review for the construction of an equipment storage garage on the property located at 176 Meeting House Lane, 046-069-000. Meredith, what should we know?
My staff report's only 2 pages on this one.
You're fired.
Public Works Director is requesting that the Planning and Zoning Commission forward a favorable report to the Town Council in accordance with Connecticut General Statute 8-24, Municipal Improvements, for the construction of an equipment storage building to be used by Public Works at the Camp Oakdale facility. They currently maintain that facility and all of the grounds up there. They are proposing a 4,725 square foot metal storage building that's going to be used to store their mowers, trucks, and various equipment that they use at Camp Oakdale. The proposed location is between Field 1 and Field 2 and is shown on a plan entitled Plan Prepared for Town of Montville, Connecticut, Camp Oakdale Public Works Equipment Storage Garage, 176 Meeting House Lane, site plan prepared by CLA Engineers Incorporated, dated 9-30-2024, revised 10-7-2024. John Carlson, the Public Works Director, stated in a letter dated October 10th that the importance of the new storage building. He indicated that there are currently four employees that regularly work at the facility, and that there has been additional equipment added over the years to suit the demands of maintaining the grounds. Therefore, the current storage building does not support the space needed to store all equipment inside. Currently, equipment's being stored outside, which leaves the equipment susceptible to the elements, mice, and vandalism. He further states that being able to store the equipment undercover is important for the ease of the operation and regular maintenance. CEO Radford and I did complete a site walk on October 8th. We were able to meet with two of the four employees that maintain the grounds up there. They were very nice. They showed us around, showed us the need for the storage. I did include pictures in the staff report to show you how tight the storage is. Some of the equipment, they have to climb over equipment to get to other equipment, move various pieces of equipment out to get to the equipment. They did let us know that it's the end of the season, so a lot of the materials that they have to use to maintain the grounds wasn't there because it had been used throughout the season. So it is actually tighter than what we had witnessed. The Director of Public Works, John Carlson, is here, as well as Darren Haywood from CLA Engineers to further explain this. Here is just for the 824 review, not the site plan at this point in time. So it might just be you, John, at this point.
My suggestion would probably be to go over the site plan prior to the 824 so that we're informed about whether or not to give a favorable report.
Technically, you're supposed to do the 824 first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just so you know, even if you do not agree to send a favorable report onto the Town Council, we can still hear the site plan and approve the site plan if you choose to. The Town Council can override an unfavorable report by a two-thirds vote.
Right.
It's a technicality at this.
So just to make sure that I understand the process here, is there a reasonable instance in which we would send an unfavorable report and yet approve the application?
The application that's presented to you, as long as it meets our regulations, you should approve it and not deny it.
Could you remind us of the purpose of an 824 review?
Any town property that is going to have a significant any significant work done, any significant repair, improvement, any
selling a property, purchasing properties,
acceptance of town roads, selling properties, expanding a bridge, expanding the width of a road, that all has to come before us to give a favorable or unfavorable report.
Mm-hmm. So we are voting, or we're giving a favorable report or an unfavorable report, not on this particular building plan,
correct,
but rather the fact that modifications or additions should be done to
correct.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
And it just changes how the council votes. So if we do unfavorable, it's 2/3. If it's favorable, it's a simple majority.
Okay. Does anyone other than me have questions for Meredith?
No.
I asked them all? Exhausted all the questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to, well, to send a report either way?
I would recommend sending a favorable report.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. First and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes. We will send a favorable 824 report to Town Council. Now, our applicant can make their presentation. Neither are we.
Yes, Congressman.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name's Darren Hayward from CLA Engineers, and I am accompanied by Mr. Carson, the DPW director here tonight. And I'll just reiterate a brief summary of what the town is proposing to do, which is to construct a garage building. An accessory building to store their trucks and mowers and other maintenance equipment, which are currently being stored outside. The garage building is proposed to be 4,725 square feet. It'll be sited next to an existing building, which will be retained in place, which is currently insufficient to store all their equipment. We believe we sited the building in the best place, given the proximity to the entrance, topography, and the current ledge that's out there. We will need to install a minor 3 to 4 foot retaining wall to maximize the grades around the building. There are no wetlands in the vicinity of development. It's not in a floodplain, or it is not located within a public water supply watershed or aquifer protection area. It won't need any parking or restrooms, and will not be serviced by water or sewer. It'll be a basic metal frame building with 4 garage bays and 2 personnel doors. Access will be from a new gravel gated driveway. There will be a 3-foot concrete apron in front of the garage doors. Like I said, there will be a retaining wall along the easterly portion of the building, and this will be stamped in the front for a faux finish. The total site disturbance for the development is about 0.4 acres, and the park will remain in operation during its construction, which hopefully will start later this year. Are there any questions of the commission?
Does this have a foundation or a slab?
We believe it's going to be a slab at this time.
So I have a question, because I have a house in Vermont. It's on a slab.
Let me just answer that real quick. We're putting it out there two ways, all right? The proposed building that we looked at originally has a slab. It's a wooden structure with a steel truss. It's called the Morton Building. We looked at that, and then we're going to put it out there so that the contractor will have the choice of putting a foundation in or building it on a slab, depending on their building techniques, because there's so many building techniques. If I limit my scope to just one building, then that's all I'm going to get is one building, where I need to open it up so that I have multiple choices and I have to look at each choice and between the building official and the engineers and say, which is my better choice? You know, I need to really just get a couple bids on this. So the original we looked at was on a slab. That's why the retaining wall is there. They needed a little bit more height to cover the backside of the building. If someone decides they want to put a foundation in and says, hey, I don't need the retaining wall if I put a, you know, 5-foot wall in, because this is a 4-foot drop off in the back. So I got to bring up the grade. We're going to fill this in to do this. So that's part of the reason. I want to open it up for all buildings, you know, and give us opportunities to hopefully save money and build within our scope of the money that we have appropriated for this project. Okay.
So I have a question. I built a garage in my house in Vermont. It's called Alaskan Floating Slab.
Yeah,
you probably heard of that. Only because of I didn't want to put a foundation in, but you thinking something of that nature where it has the flexibility. So the Alaskan floating slab is on gravel base.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right. Okay. Yep. Something of that nature.
Yes, it could be either way. It's going to depend on the contractor, but yes, we looked at one like that. Yep. What you're talking about, but we didn't want to limit us to just that. So we're going to, it's going to be an open-ended type here. Here's the specs. You got to bring in your plans. Show us what you want to build, what it's going to look like, what everything's going to be, where the doors are going to be, the foundation, how everything's set up. We're going to analyze them. Whoever gives us the best price to the building that fits, the council will approve it, and hopefully it works out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Question?
No effect to the existing operation. There'll be no courts moved. No.
Nothing. Nothing's moving. There's already a pre-existing gate there now. I will probably upgrade it to make it a little nicer. It's just not fancy, you know. But there already is a gate. There's almost a dirt driveway for the location that it's located. We'll have to move a water line for the fields. The well that's next to it is just for irrigation. We use that to irrigate the field. That produces enough water for us to irrigate the fields.
Mm-hmm. The size of this building, it will require a frost-protective foundation, but there are many different ways of doing it, so that's good. You're looking at the various means and methods. So this is just going to be for the storage of equipment, no service, no maintenance within this building?
I currently have the other building as a maintenance facility. I'm not going to say never because, things change, but our current plan is just for storage. Right now I have a tractor and a truck outside. We sat and watched on a video a kid pick up a brick. His buddy noticed that he had a brick in his hand, and he noticed the camera. He dropped the brick. My biggest fear is someone dumping sand down the fuel tanks or filling up a hydraulic tank on our tractor. Or the other advantages for us, too, is when the trailer is loaded with mowers and we go to multiple properties outside of the camp to maintain them. We maintain sides of the roads. We maintain islands. We maintain all the town buildings. We mow all over the place. They mow the intersection of Oakelchester and Black Ash. Mm-hmm. So these things have to be transported. We're hoping with this new building, I'll be able to back that trailer in at night with all the mowers still on it and go back out the next day. Right now, we have to currently offload everything for the safety of the equipment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. And I did buy a new truck, which helped us, but it doesn't fit in the building. So that was... The idea behind it was it has a toolbox that they can carry the tools, so when they do go to another job, they have tools that they may need. Mm. God forbid you get out there and a tree's down. They have a chainsaw in the truck, or they need a wrench to fix a swing set or something. These are the things that we face every day when we go out and inspect properties. You know, the swing sets get maintained or inspected monthly, so that's a requirement. So you have to have tools on hand if you got to fix a bolt or something or change it or whatever, you know. So, but, all right.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Chairperson Lundy, I would like to point out that there's multiple sections that
yes.
their determination of an applicability. I don't think that you have to do a motion for each one. You can list
right.
all of them.
I will read them into the record. Again, as Meredith mentioned, the applicant is requesting a determination of applicability on several sections.
As we go down them, please just make a mental note of whether or not the section should apply for this application. The first is section 17.4.3, which states property boundaries, dimensions, and area in acres and square feet, and all existing monuments, pipe markers, and other physical evidence concerning property boundaries. The applicant states the entire property has not been surveyed and the property boundary markers were not located. The proposed building is centrally located on the previously developed 79.81-acre town-owned Camp Oakdale property and is more than 430 feet away from the property line. While we're not going to do a motion, are there any questions, concerns, comments about that? Hearing none, we'll move on. Section 17.4.7 states the location of all existing watercourses, wetlands, public water supply, watershed boundaries, bedrock outcrops, and where appropriate, the mean high water line, flood hazard areas, and channel encroachment lines. The applicant states that rock outcrops in the vicinity of the development area have been shown. The other features noted are not present in the vicinity of the project. Section 17.4.6 states location, width, and purpose of all existing and proposed easements and right-of-way on the property. The applicant states no easements or right-of-ways are known to exist in the vicinity of the proposed development area. Section 17.4.8 states location and size and square feet of all existing and proposed structures, including underground storage tanks and uses on the property, and the approximate locations and size of all existing structures on the abutting properties, which are within 100 feet of the property lot lines. The applicant states the existing structures in the vicinity of the work area have been located. The existing structures beyond the work area and off-site have not been located and are not impacted by the development. Section 17.4.13, location, size, height, lighting, and orientation of all signs. The applicant states no signs are proposed. 17.4.14 states location, size, height, and orientation of all outdoor lighting facilities. The applicant states no outdoor lighting is proposed. Section 17.4.17, location, size, and type of all sewage disposal facilities. The applicant states no sewage service nor facilities are proposed. Section 17.4.20, the commission may require the applicant to submit an environmental evaluation report for a proposed development located in an environmentally sensitive area. Evaluation reports by independent professionals and other experts, such as hydrologists, geologists, and soil scientists, may be required at the expense of the applicant. The applicant states there are no sensitive environmental features in the vicinity of the work area. The site is located between two athletic fields and adjacent to the existing storage shed. A portion of the site is previously disturbed with a gravel access drive. Section 17.4.22, Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, in accordance with Section 4.10.8 of these regulations. The applicant states no water service is proposed. 17.4.23, Sanitary Waste Disposal Plan. For any site which is to be served and is capable of being served by an operational public sanitary sewer line prior to occupancy, the site plan shall depict the sewer lateral and any and other engineering information suitable to determine that connection to an operational sanitary sewer line is feasible. In addition, the applicant shall provide evidence from the Mottville Water Pollution Control Authority that it is capable of providing sanitary sewer service to the subject site. If the applicant proposes to utilize a community sewerage system as defined in Connecticut General Statute Section 7-245, as may be amended from time to time, a report from the Mottville Water Pollution Control Authority indicating that all requirements of Connecticut General Statute Section 7-246, as may be amended from time to time, have been satisfied, shall be provided. 17.4.25 states special requirements for uses in public drinking water supply watersheds. The following special requirements shall apply to all special permit uses located within the Lake Conomic and Stony Brook Reservoir watershed. 1. All septic systems shall be designed by a sanitary engineer registered in the state of Connecticut and shall include a renovation analysis demonstrating compliance with current standards adopted by the DEP. 2. No stormwater discharge from parking areas, roadways, rooftops, or areas covered with similar impervious surfaces shall be deposited directly into any wetland or watercourse, nor discharged directly into the ground. Suitable surface and/or subsurface measures shall be taken to detain filter, renovate, and otherwise improve the quality of any such waters before discharged surface or subsurface waters on or off the site. Existing wetlands may be employed for final treatment of stormwaters to the extent of their capacity to do so, but only after the initial treatment by new wetlands or structural filtration methods. The applicant states the site is not located within a public drinking water supply watershed. With that, I will entertain a motion to state that the requirements read into the record
be waived.
Are not applicable.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Those items are not applicable. Take a breather after that. There is a suggested motion for favorable approval for the application that I am not going to read into the record. Hopefully someone else will.
I'll read it.
Want me to do it?
Commissioner Terry, well.
Okay. I make a motion to approve with conditions application 24, site 8, for construction of an equipment storage building to be utilized by Public Works at 176 Meeting House Lane in parentheses 046-069-000, close parentheses, in accordance with the Montville zoning regulations and the application, supporting documentation and a plan set entitled, quote, plan prepared for Town of Montville, Connecticut, Camp Oakdale Public Works Equipment Storage Garage, 176 Meeting House Lane, site plan prepared by CLA Engineers Incorporated, dated September 30, 2024, revised October 7, 2024. Do I have to go? Keep going? Oh,
conditions.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Conditions, general conditions. One, this approval is for a specific use, site, and structures identified in the application. Any change in the nature of use, site, or the structure will require new approvals from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Two, this project shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the reference plan. Three, soil erosion and sediment controls shall be installed in accordance with the approved plan set and inspected by the zoning officer prior to the start of any work. Four, an approved zoning permit is required prior to the start of any work. Five, by acceptance of this permit and conditions, the applicant and owner acknowledge the right of town staff to periodically enter upon the subject property for the purpose of determining compliance with the terms of this approval. Six, no business/use under this permit/approval shall be initiated until a certificate of zoning compliance is approved by the zoning officer. Conditions to be met prior to signing of plans. Item 7. Plan shall be revised as follows. Sheet 2, General Notes. Number 6C, references Route 1 and Connecticut DOT. Please revise. Sheet 2, Erosion and Sedimentation Control Narrative. Note 3, please revise as follows. Quote, erosion and sedimentation control measures shall be installed and approved by the zoning officer prior to the site disturbance, close quote. 8, all plans submitted for signature shall bear the seal and live signature of the appropriate professionals responsible for the preparation of the plan. 9, the application shall also submit final plans as approved by the commission in a digital format per Zoning Reg, Section 17.3. 10, a list outlining how the conditions of approval have been met shall be submitted along with final plans submitted for signature. 11, a list outlining all changes to the plan shall be submitted along with final plans submitted for signature. The list shall cite the sheet number where each change has been made. Conditions to be met prior to the issuance of zoning permits. 12, 4 sets of paper plans with any required revisions incorporated shall be submitted to the Land Use Department for signature of the Commission. 13, any required certificates and or approvals from state or federal agencies, i.e. Connecticut DOT, DEEP, Army Corps of Engineers, shall be obtained by the applicant and submitted to the Land Use and Development Office. Any changes to the plans required by such entities may require a plan modification from the Planning and Zoning Commission. 14, a pre-construction meeting between the applicant, site contractors, project engineer, and town staff shall be held. Conditions which must be met prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. Item 15, complete as-built plans certified to Class A2 accuracy shall be submitted prior to the issuance of any certificate of zoning compliance. The as-built plan shall also contain a certification by a professional engineer that they have inspected the site improvements and that they have been installed in accordance with the approved plans. Any deviations or admissions must be noted. 16. No certificate of occupancy or other final approval may be issued until the zoning officer has signed off on the final work. Note, the conditions of approval do not take the place of other requirements found in the town code, regulation, and application instructions. Should the commission vote? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Terry. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, let's take a roll call vote, please.
Okie dokie. Commissioner Summers.
In favor.
Right here. Commissioner Poole.
In favor.
I am in favor myself, Commissioner Short. And Commissioner Pike.
Favor.
And Commissioner Terry.
Favor.
And Chairperson Lundy.
In favor.
We are all in favor of it.
Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a good night so far.
Get the shovels out.
Yes. I want to protect my equipment I purchased with my tax money.
The final item under new business is item 90, which is 24-3, 958 Route 163, 046-008-000. The owner is TACT Holdings, LLC. The applicant is the Navar Company and Dean Fisk for a proposed one-lot re-subdivision. This was submitted October 9th and received October 22nd. However, the applicant has submitted a letter to withdraw the subdivision re-subdivision application and the proposed one-lot re-subdivision. And I believe they will be resubmitting once they have submitted to the Montville Inland Wetlands Commission.
Correct.
Okay. So no action is required on that item.
Look for that.
Yay.
On the agenda is zoning matters and the zoning enforcement officer report.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer for the record. This is the zoning and wetlands report for September 24th, 2024 through October 21st, 2024. Total inquiries were 149. Total zoning permits opened at the beginning of the reporting period were 338. Total number of closed permits with the issuance of a CZC were 13. Total number of field inspections were 22. The total number of zoning permits issued were 30, one of which has been withdrawn, giving us total zoning permits currently opened of 354. Total number of new zoning complaints were 3. Total number of ongoing zoning complaints were 12. Total number of closed zoning complaints were 1. There were no new wetlands complaints. And the total number of ongoing wetlands complaints are 3. Total number of closed wetlands complaints were 1. There is one inland wetland application pending, and there is also one ZBA application pending. Are there any questions?
How long has this Moxley farm been pending? Seems like I've seen it on here about 4 months.
It has been about 4 months. We're waiting for his attorney to submit the application for inland wetlands.
Meanwhile, the animals just live there and moo and cackle.
Yes, I certainly will contact the attorney tomorrow and see if we can get moving on it.
Partridge Hollow, that's interesting. I thought there were only two houses up there that didn't have air conditioning out of the 62 houses. Proctor Tile doesn't have it, 33?
They have a condenser.
Oh.
They're removing and replacing.
Need a permit for that?
I think that should be a topic of discussion at a future meeting.
They needed a permit. That was twofold. They needed a permit because they are now changing their furnace from oil to propane. And they wanted to put in propane tanks. And the propane company was refusing to contact me to place the propane tanks and get a zoning permit. So I required the property owner to get a permit so we would be in compliance if they never did get a permit for the propane tanks for the condenser, which the propane tanks were going right next to the condenser.
I will tell my neighbors, because most of us up there are going to have to replace our condenser in the next 5 years. That development is at that age now.
So, but the point I'm trying to make is that it really is not a requirement, but I made them do it because
of the change of the fuel source.
Exactly.
Understand.
And they were refusing to submit for. Okay.
Thank you.
Couldn't we have gone after them after the fact?
We could, but it's much easier to get them to comply. They were willing to comply with the condenser.
Okay, so you asked them for one for a condenser, but we didn't need one, correct?
Correct.
Okay, but you did it anyway because of something future.
No, they're doing the condenser.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the propane tanks.
They were putting them both in simultaneously.
Yeah.
Along with a new condenser.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she would not have been able to sign off in the building department until they had a zoning permit. So everything was then held up. So it wouldn't have, could they put them there? It would have been without a building permit and without a zoning permit. So she worked around it to get everybody what they needed.
Okay.
They were also dealing with a sick child and were in dire need of moving this process along. So I found a bit of gray to be able to get this to work for them.
Good. Okay, great. Thank you.
The acronym NOAV, Notice of, what is the AV?
Apparent Violation.
Thank you. Any other questions for Stacy? Okay, thank you very much. Land Use Director Report. I see that there's none, but Meredith, is there anything that you would like to add?
I have nothing else this evening.
You said quite enough. No, just kidding. Any other business? None, okay. There is correspondence regarding Connecticut General Statute Section 8-7DH. Referral dated October 1st, 2024, regarding the Town of Preston Zoning Regulation Amendment for the title of Farm Wineries. I don't believe action is required on that. It's
There's
just an
no
FYI.
There's no action required. I don't believe it's going to affect our town with them changing this. Like, we send out our amendment request to them.
Okay.
They are also doing the same.
All right, there's no need for an executive session this evening, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, the meeting is adjourned.
Sorry.
Okay. That happened to me.